Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's just give the Lord another hand clap of praise. He's worthy. Amen. But it is good to be here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Amen. We do want to continue to announce we have a fall festival coming up the 29th. I need candy. I want everybody that will bring us a big bag of candy. I want no little bag, I want a big bag. You can get them at Walmart, you can get them at Sam's. Just mixed bag of candy. We're going to fix up some bags of candy to give all the kids that come, so they won't have to worry about going around looking for none. Somebody said, how much candy you want to have? I want them in a diabetic coma. Not really. I just want them to have enough candy. They got candy. Amen. Hello? Yeah. I know some places do trunk or treat or something like that. What we're going to do is put them in a bag, just give them a bag. Hello? And don't worry, some of you adults, if there's some left over, we'll give you a bag of candy too. But help us out, if you will. Bring us some candy so we can give them to the kids and just try to help them have a good time at the fall festival. We got some other things. Brother Hoppy's brought some toys by. We're going to give away. We're going to do face painting. Amen. I got a couple of people I want to get their face painted. We've got some pretty little red Alabama A's that we're going to put on some faces. Amen. I tell you what, if y'all do that, I'd actually let you put a blue AU on my face for a little while. I appreciate it. Got a fellow back there who loved me too much to let me do that. But seriously, we're going to have a good time with the kids. We're working on a lot of things we're going to be doing. Please, there's flyers out here. Take them and give them out. Invite people to come. There's going to be some them blow up things from the play in. We're going to have some different things to do. We're going to have a cake walk for those that want a cake. There'll be 10 or 12 cakes if you try to win. As long as Pastor gets a piece of every one of them, you win. Oh, amen. But do help us with that. And do remember next Sunday we began revival. Please be telling everybody about revival. We sent some flyers out this week to the different churches. I've got calls in to some of the choirs, try to get them to come help us out by singing. Ain't nobody called me back yet, but you know, maybe somebody will come help us. Amen. If not, we're going to sing. So some of y'all that sing need to be here. Don't lay out thinking we got singers coming. Y'all show up. That way, if they don't show up, we sing. Because if y'all don't show up, it'll be me and John. I can see that now. God, I have to do something. Lord. Amen. I never forget Northport Church of God. I was getting ready to preach one night. And I said, Brother Hall, how did I get service started? He said, sing. I sung in the choir. I said, you think I'm that good a singer? He said, boy, you sing, you may not preach. I started getting the big head. I said, you think I'm that good? He said, no, the Bible said God wouldn't make us bear more than we could stand. I said, you go to singing, God will have to do something. Oh, give me an A. Philippians chapter 4. Some of y'all still ain't smiled. Yeah, I wonder why you can't get somebody to want to be a Christian when you walk around looking like you've been sucking persimmons all day long. I mean, if you ain't happy, how you expect anybody else to want what you got? They already got a load of what you got. I mean, my Lord, I remember going to church one night, they're testifying. One of them got up, the devil been all over them. Another got up, they'd had all kind of problems. Another had up, the car blowed up. Preacher come by me after church, said, boy, don't you want to get saved? I said, I got enough trouble. I done heard what all these others got. I don't need no more. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul writes to the church of Philippi and said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Amen. Would you look at your neighbor, smile real big with a Presbyterian smile, shake the hand, say, I sure do love you. Would you do that tonight? Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight for just a little while on a subject I simply entitled, How to Keep Your Joy. Now, church, listen, we live in a time when we've all been irritated, agitated, aggravated, and frustrated. Somebody said, no, it's all the same thing. No, it's not. I was riding down the road one day and I was talking to this fella. I had another cell phone in the car, so while we was talking, I called him on the other cell phone. Somebody's calling me. I got to go see who it is. He hung up and he answered the phone. I said, hey, could you tell me how to get to so-and-so? And I used a different voice. He said, I don't know where so-and-so is. And he hung it up. Call me back. Just like talking goods, you know, I dialed his number up again. He answered the phone a second time. I said, hey, could you tell me how to get to so-and-so? He said, I got no idea where so-and-so is. Who are you? I said, well, I'm just trying to get there. I thought you knew. About that time, he hung up, calls me back. We're sitting there talking. Now, see, I got him irritated. Second time, I got him agitated. Third time, I really got under his skin. He come on the phone. I said, hey, you got any idea how to get to so-and-so? He said, man, I have told you I ain't got no idea. Click. Call me back. He said, some idiot trying to figure out how to get to so-and-so. I waited a few minutes. Now I've got him totally aggravated. I called him back. He answered the phone. He said, what? I'm on the phone. I said, I just thought I'd call and tell you how to get to so-and-so since you don't know how to get there. You know, he hung up on me again. I had to call him back. He said, I don't know who this idiot is. I said, I'm the one that was calling you from another cell phone. Had him totally frustrated. See, some of y'all sitting there said, preacher, you ought not done that. Why? I just want to see if you're sanctified. Lord, amen. But you know, church, every one of us has experienced some point of aggravation, irritation, frustration in this world, and it steals your joy. It drains all the heart love out of you. But I want to tell you something, friend. We need to get to that place where we can keep our joy. Could you say amen? See, everybody in the world wants to be happy. I mean, that's all we hear. We got all kind of stuff don't make us happy. I mean, let's face it, church. I was reading the newspaper several months back, and I found a newspaper article said, happiness by the numbers. You know there are 32,000 cults and religious sects in America, and all of them are telling everybody, I'm going to make you happy if you come to my place. Amen. And folks are running to them lock, stock, and barrel, hearing whatever they want to hear because they want to be happy. Amen. You know what? We got 2,600 New Age bookstores in America, and they're all selling books on how you can be happy. Just be happy. I mean, you know, there's a song out about that. Be happy. No matter what's going on, just be happy. Glory. Do you know there are over 500 different brands of beer in America, and every one of them wants you to believe if you drink their beer, you'll be happy? It's amazing when they show a beer commercial. It's always somebody having a good time drinking a beer. They don't ever show a car tow up on the side of the road and body parts scattered everywhere because that dude drank their beer. I think there ought to be truth in advertising. So you drink our beer, this could be you. Huh? Come on, church. Well, preacher, that wouldn't make people happy, wouldn't me? Might make some people quit buying their beer. Come on, church, smile at me. Got a 500,000 self-help groups in America. My God, we all losing weight, doing all kind of stuff with these self-help. Come on, church. We got people in Weight Watchers trying to lose weight so they can be happy. Hello? Some of y'all look at me like, not me, preacher. Me neither. I'm happy just like I am. Lord, amen. But you know, church, we got all these self-improvement books, and we're reading these books. We're doing all these things that's going to make us happy. I mean, you know, we're doing all this stuff going to get us excited, but the truth of the matter is most people are not happy. Most people are just really messed up. I don't know why, but we got people walking through this world with a chip on their shoulders. They got their heart broke. Everything's messed up. Every time you turn around, their life falls apart. But I want to tell you something, church. There's only one real happiness. Could you say amen to that, church? There's only one thing that'll take away the problems of your life and give you a place to hide where you can have joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and that is in knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. I read the book of Nehemiah when he said, and this for in Nehemiah 8 and 10, for this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. You say, what are you getting at? The devil loves to steal your joy because he knows as long as you're happy, he can't touch you. Glory. Hello? So he's got us watching soap operas. And I ain't just talking to ladies. I got a preacher friend of mine like to kill me one time. I'd run a revival, and I wanted to tape something because we were going somewhere, and I didn't know you could mess up the tape player because he had it preset. And I said it to tape something else. He missed his stinking soap opera. That man got mad at him. Bless God, I'll never know what happened to her. I said, just watch it. She's on another show. You know she died. Come on, church.
But we got people watching them things trying to figure out like life ain't like they are there. Can I tell you, life ain't where you can come out of prison one week, be a doctor the next week. They do it on them shows. Come on, church. We got women reading romance manuals trying to figure out why the husband ain't romantic. Uh-oh, I got a cord right there, and I see some people, well, preacher, I'm going to stand up for them fellas. We ain't got riders for us like they do. Come on, church. My wife told me one time, she said, why can't you be romantic like that guy on TV? I said, I ain't got nobody riding. I'm winging it. Glory. Hello? I come in one night about 2 o'clock in the morning, stopped by the office, got me a book, read me a little bit, went in there, slammed the bedroom door, threw the light on, fell on my knees, said, what light breaks through yon window? It is the east, and thou art the sun. My wife looked at me and said, what's your problem? I said, well, that's Shakespeare. It's the best I could do on short notice. Oh, you know, for some reason, she ain't asked me to be romantic no more. Oh. But church, the truth of the matter is, that's what's happening to us. But can I tell you the real problem? See, happiness is not joy. Joy comes from the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy through the Holy Ghost. Paul talks about joy more than any other writer of the New Testament. Amen. You ever read Philippians 1:4? Always in every prayer of mine for all you, making requests with joy. Amen. Philippians 2:16-18. This is what Paul said. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all for the same cause. Do all ye rejoice and rejoice with me. Amen. You hear what Paul's saying? Boy, he's full of joy, ain't he? Amen. Then he tells again, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Church, do you realize he wrote all these things in a hole in the ground? I had a guy tell me, said, if my life was better, I'd have joy. I ever studied the life of Paul? I mean, here's a guy who killed Christians for a living. He worked for the Jewish church. And everybody claimed to be a Christian, he'd get rich from the church and go out and kill them. You don't believe me? Read Galatians. This is what he said in Galatians. He said, you remember my conversation time past, how that I wasted the church. He tried to kill every Christian he could find. Then he gets saved. Man, that's an awesome thing, ain't it? Paul got saved, went blind as a bat. They take him to Jerusalem. Dude comes and prays for him. The scales fall off his eyes. He can see. Only thing is, he's got a problem. One of the dudes used to work with him now found out he got saved, and they're looking for Paul. They got to slip him out of town. He goes to preach one of his first sermons. They stone him to death. Well, must have been a bad sermon. Hello? Now, I remember my first sermon, 16 pages of tight notes, and in 4 minutes, I was through. I'd read all of it 2 or 3 times for emphasis. They didn't stone me. They came back the next time. My second sermon, I had somebody give me advice. You don't need them notes. Just get up there and let her fly. Y'all may be glad I learned to use notes. I memorized 120 scriptures in my second sermon. An hour and a half into it, I was still quoting. Oh. Hello? You say, preacher, that's crazy. No, I'm not. Paul goes out, preaches. They stone him to death. He gets to heaven. He's in the wonders of heaven. God walks by and says, what are you doing here? Well, I got stoned to death. Well, it ain't your time. Go back. Have you ever thought about how that felt? Get back in the body. It's just been stoned to death. I mean, it's bruised. It's banged up. It's hurting. He was up there in the joys of heaven. And notice this. There's a kicker in this. He said, you can't tell nobody what you saw. How many of y'all ever bought one of them books? I'm finna nail some folks now. Went to heaven and came back. And they tell you everything they saw. If Paul couldn't tell you, who's them people you buy in their books? I just thought I'd ask the question. It made sense to me. If the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament couldn't tell you what he saw, who are these people you're buying books from? Come on, church. I mean, I've been clinically dead twice. Ain't seen a stinking thing. Woke up both times, found out I'd been dead. Can't write a book, do nothing. Glory. Hello? I called one of them 1-800 numbers, died, and came back. Lady said, what'd you see? I said, nothing. Click. Hung up on me. I can't even get on one of them shows. Hello? Paul comes back, goes preaching another place. They beat daylights out of him and throw him under the jail. Now, he didn't go into jail. He went in the dungeon. He's sitting up there tied to the wall. They got him tied to a dirt wall, back cut up, dirt getting in there, water getting in there. I mean, he's burning. He looks over to his buddy and says, let's just have church. How many of y'all would have church in that situation? The Bible said he started singing praises unto God. Next thing you know, old God starts patting his foot. It's a Ken Stroop story. You can figure it any way you want to, but an earthquake hit, and I think God was patting his foot. I said, well, why would that call an earthquake? Wasn't the earth his footstool? I can match this up and make it work. Glory. All of a sudden, that jail starts doing, I mean, they had jailhouse rock, and Elvis wasn't even around. Glory. Next thing you know, he jumps up, the chains come off, they go walking out, and the jailer's out there with a sword, you know, going, I'm going to kill myself. He said, I don't do that. And he said, what I got to do that? What you have? He said, just pray. Glory. Amen. I mean, he gets out there, he goes home to preach, and they arrest him. Put him in house arrest for 3.5 years at Areopagus' house. He gets out of there, goes before the king. The king comes down and said, I got to judge you. He said, okay, king. He said, almost, I'm persuaded to believe, but I got to go ahead and sentence you. He said, nah, I'm a Roman citizen. I appeal to Caesar. They put him on a ship. Stupid ship sinks. Come on, church. Next time you think you're having a bad day, read the life of Paul. He had a bad life. Man wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Seemed like everything he'd done blew up in his face. I mean, the boat sinks. But can you imagine how the rest of them felt when he come walking up in the middle of the storm going, hey, fellas, be of good cheer. Have you ever been on a boat that was about to sink? I have. I was on a boat one time, got caught in a squall off a hurricane. That thing would roll up over the wave, the screws would come out, and you hear them propellers going, whoa! Then we'd shoot down the front, and the front of the boat would go in the water, and it'd come back up, and we'd run up another wave and get on top, and it'd roll over and do it again. Fella looked over me and said, you don't have to worry, that guy driving this boat knows what he's doing. I grabbed him, I said, his lips is white, and he's sweating, he's scared as I am. Glory. I had two of them life jackets on. It didn't help, I'd read Jaws the week before. I was riding through there going, I'm the biggest one on the boat. He's just watching for me to come off. Glory. I made God all kind of promises what I'd do if I ever got off that boat. Boat sinks. They end up on an island. Paul trying to build a fire, help out to get dry, gets bit by a snake. Everybody on the island waiting on Paul to die. He don't die, so they come start worshiping. You got to be God. Paul says, no, I'm not God, but the God I serve is the one who took care of me when that snake bit me. And when they got him off the island, everybody on the island, including the governor, had been saved. Come on, church. Amen. They take him to Rome and tie him to prison to a guard 24 hours a day. I don't know if y'all understand this. This didn't happen for a week or two. Actually, he was tied to that guard from 61 A.D. to 63 A.D. He was tied to guards. For 2 years, every day, 24 hours a day, he's chained to somebody. But do you know what? Every time they came to change guards, the person was saved that was hung to him. Amen. He got so bad, they started shortening the time, but he still kept getting them saved. They finally gave up, just took him loose from them. Amen. But they stuck him in a marmotine prison, a hole in the ground. And he told them, said, hey, listen, I got some folks in some churches I need to communicate with. Could you send me somebody out there and let me write them some stuff? And he wrote stuff like, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He wrote another, said, I've run the race and I've kept the faith. And now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not only me, but all those that make it in. He writes another church, said, be careful for nothing or don't worry. Why? He said, because I got a God that can let me rejoice in whatever state I'm in. Can I tell you, church, some of us need to realize our joy is not tied to what's going on in my life. It's not real happiness. It's the joy of the Lord. It's that inner peace that just carries us through everything. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. What is joy? It's more than a feeling. Joy is in a sense of adjustment. Hello? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. My mic ain't working. I done figured that out. I knew he was giving me signals. I thought he was just excited. Hey, ain't bad as it was. Tuscaloosa one night, I was preaching at Tuscaloosa, kept looking in the back, and there's a guy in the back doing like this. The preacher's up there doing like this, and I'm thinking, boy, that carried on conversation. Come find out after church, preacher couldn't figure out why his wife wasn't at church. He sent people looking for her. After church, I walk out in the foyer. She comes walking in. I said, where were you? She said, at a banquet. My husband was supposed to have been at. I got teacher of the year, and he wasn't there. I walked in. I said, you in trouble. Hello? But listen to what he said. He said, if I've only got hope of joy in this life, I'm of all men most miserable. My joy is not tied in what's happening down here, because you see, even if everything falls out down here, I got tomorrow. And tomorrow I know I'm not going to have any more pain. I'm not going to have any more sorrow. Come on, church. Amen. Why? Because I got the joy of knowing I'm going to make it out of here. Amen. You see, I've got to be able to adjust to what's going on in my life and realize it ain't that important anyway. I'm making it out of here sooner or later if I hang on to God. Could you say amen? It's a spiritual dimension of our life. I can have joy in my spirit and have all kind of problems in the flesh, but I still got joy that the devil can't take away. Amen. Number two, joy is a spiritual balance between expectation and achievement. You ever thought you was going to do something and it didn't work out that way? It's disappointing, ain't it? But real joy is when, even though it don't work out, I begin to realize. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm therewith to be content. Paul said, doesn't matter if I'm where I want to be. All I know is I'm where God wants me. And as long as I'm where God wants me, I'm content. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about whether or not I got the most money. I'm not worried if I'm driving the fanciest car. All I know is I am in God and God is in me. And because of that, I got it made. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Joy is seeking God first. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No. Listen to what he said. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Well, preacher, what is joy? Joy is a sense of imperturbable gladness that sings even when rejected, praises when persecuted, and stands when attacked. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I don't know about you, but I want that joy that don't go away because things ain't going good. I want that joy that doesn't disappear. I want to be like Job. Whenever things going wrong, I realize there is a God who gives a song in the night. Could you say amen to that, church? There is a God that can give me a joy that's coming in the morning. Could you say amen? I don't care what happens in the night season. Morning's coming, and when the day breaks, his mercies are new every day. His love is renewed every day. His joy is unspeakable every day in my life. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Number one, if I'm going to keep joy in my life, I must decide to become a disciple. 7 billion people in the world, 2.5 billion of them are Christians. Term Christian is only used 2 times in the Bible, and it was a derogatory term. Hello? See, some of y'all got a look on your face. What are you talking about? The people would say, we are Caesareans. We're followers of Caesar the Great. You're Christians. You follow that God died. Hello? They were making fun of them. But you know what? At 300 times in the New Testament alone, God's followers were called disciples. Hello? The New Testament church had joy because they caught the meaning of discipleship. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they continually, daily, in one accord of the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They understood that if I have fellowship one with the other, I grow in that fellowship, and I live in that fellowship, and I survive in that fellowship. Could you say amen? Glory. Disciples, number one, are learners and followers of Christ in attitude, belief, and value. They accept Christ as Messiah, submit to him as Lord, receive the Holy Ghost, crucify the flesh, and live by the revealed word in their life. Amen. The disciples keep their joy by making decisions to be disciples, trusting in God's ability to accept the call to follow Him and become fishers of men. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You get that joy because you understand wherever I am, as long as I'm in Him, it's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because it's not important what I want. It's all about what He wants in my life. Hello? Glory. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19-20. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. You know what Paul said to the church of Thessalonica? He said, you what make me happy. Amen. Every time I see you, I get joy because I know I had something to do in you being there. I want to tell you something, church. I can ride down the road, be feeling as bad as all get out, bump into somebody and say, hey, you were preaching the night I got saved, and something in me clicks, and I go, yeah, that's what it's all about. I don't know how many times I've thought about quitting and thought about giving up. I used to hear preachers talk about, I quit every Monday. I was that upset with my job, I'd quit. Hello? I quit every day sometime. Lord. When I was evangelist, I'd resign every night. I'd be going home, I ain't going back. Them people don't care. I'm not fooling with them. I'd get home, open up the Bible. I had a letter in there from a man in a place called Floral, Alabama. He wrote me and said, I got saved. That letter came to me, and 3 weeks later, he died of a heart attack. I kept that letter for one reason. I want to know that I know that I know there was one soul I pulled out of the fires of hell that found their way to Jesus Christ. And I understand if there's one, there can be another out there somewhere. And if I keep fishing, I'm going to find them. Amen, church. And let me tell you something. Every time I bump into somebody, get a letter from somebody, have somebody tell me that they found Jesus or had something happen through me, it gives me a little joy and a little peace to keep going. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, you know what keeps me running? I get my joy and my glory because I know I had something to do with getting you where you are. Now, some of you are going to get upset with this one, but you got to understand, number two, if you don't keep your joy, you got to learn how to pray in detail. Prayer is a lifestyle. It ain't something you just do when you have trouble. It's got to be something you do all the time. Some of y'all have to spend so much time getting reacquainted. It's like calling somebody you ain't talked to in 20 years. You got to remind them who you was. If you got to spend 30 minutes reminding God who you are, you should have been talking to Him a little more often. Come on, church, that's good preaching. But when you pray, pray in detail. So what are you talking about? Tell God what you want. He already knows what you're after. It's kind of like when my kids used to come in, especially my daughter. She walks up and she looks at me and said, hey, Dad, walks by. I know ain't nothing happening. She walks up to me and she says something like, hey, Dad, I got a question. I know the checkbook's fixing to have to come out. Huh? When she was little, she couldn't say my name. She called me Ninny because she couldn't say Kenny. And anytime she wanted something, as she got older, she'd get up in my lap and she'd say, Ninny, I love you. I knew I was in trouble then. Hello? But she'd always be detailed in what she wanted because she wasn't taking a chance I didn't know. Hello? I had a guy one time come up to me. I was in revival up near Huntsville, and this guy was an electrical engineer, worked for NASA, lost his job. He made some pretty good money. He come walking up to me and said, preacher, I'm about to run out of money. He said, I'm about to run out of benefits. I said, I got to get a job. Said, what kind of job do you want? He said, I'll take anything. I said, well, let's pray. I grabbed his hand. I said, God, get him a job on a garbage truck. He said, well, I don't work on no garbage truck. I said, then tell God you don't want to work on a garbage truck. Come on, church. I ain't figured it out yet. I use shock value on a regular basis. Glory. I mean, I knew this guy didn't work on no garbage truck, but I knew he also wasn't being sincere with God about what he really wanted. If you're faithful to God, pray in detail. My Lord, church, come on, church. Don't be praying for a Mercedes if you can be just as happy in a Toyota. But if you really need something, put it before God. And my Bible said, make your request known unto Him. Come on, church, that's good preaching. Amen. Notice something. Number three, if I'm really going to keep my joy, I've got to learn how to practice peace. See, church, having peace is a choice. I could decide not to come apart just because everything ain't going the way I want it to. Uh-oh. Some of y'all go, well, preacher, I just don't believe that. Then you don't know what real peace is. Real peace is not having a good time when everything's going good. Real peace is when you don't blow up because everything ain't going the way you think it ought to. Real peace is when you're singing a song while the storm's raging around you because you realize this ain't no big deal. I'm coming out of this somewhere. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You got to learn how to practice peace. Philippians 4:7. Listen to what Paul said. He said, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalms 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Hallelujah. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace, and in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Can I tell you, honey, because I am in God and God is in me, I don't have to worry what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, because there is a peace just like there is a joy that passes all understanding, because there's something in me that lets me know all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Could you say amen? Woo. Hallelujah. Last but not least, if I'm going to keep my joy, I got to learn how to control my thinking. Can I tell you what's really wrong with most folks? It's called stinking thinking. Some of y'all can't sleep at night because you're worried about what's under the bed. If you hadn't been watching some dumb, stupid program tell you there's something under that bed, you wouldn't have known there's nothing under that. I went to Romania with a state overseer that was scared of vampires. He wanted to stop by garlic to put around his stinking. And we was in a little old van. I got to sit next to him. I said, you ain't buying no garlic. The only way I want garlic is in spaghetti or something. I don't know garlic around a man's neck riding down the road because he's afraid something's going to bite him. We were in Transylvania. He was really upset. One night I started out at the motel. I wanted something to drink. They didn't have any drinks inside the foyer of the motel, so I go walk off the street and give me a drink. He grabbed me and said, where you going? I said, get a drink. It's a full moon. Now, church, I understand full moons and vampires, and I'm in Transylvania, and they're all worried. And I looked at him, I said, look, if Drac wants some of this or some of me, he can have it. I'm finna go get me something to drink. I went across the road. If I could have found me some ketchup, I'd have put it on my neck and come back into the, I'd have sent that guy into a heart condition. We went to the village where Vladimir Tepesh was raised. Those of you who know who that is, he later became known as Vlad the Impaler when he ruled Romania. Because it was so bloody, they wouldn't let him be king, because the king was the head of the church, and so he couldn't be king, so he called himself Count. And so everybody knew who he was. He named himself after his father, Count Dracula. That's where the legend came from. He was not a vampire, he was a leader. We went to this village. I thought it was cool. It was a 14th century village. People still lived there. I don't know about y'all, but we don't build houses that good no more. We're walking around looking at it. Brother Tim Hill was with us. We all walked around. We was amazed at the architecture. Brother Arnold wouldn't get out of the van. I don't get out of the van in the home of the devil. I went by and they looked up in the corner and there was a bat hanging. I looked up one of the guys. I said, we found one of them in a low corner. I'm going to get that guy out of that van. There's all watching me, see if I could find one. I kept looking. I never could find one low enough I could get to him. If I could have got me a bat in my hand, I'd have walked over that door and said, hey, look at him. I guarantee if it went in that van, he'd have come out. Glory. Some of y'all said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. He was the one that was scared of something that don't exist. And we've got people that are living their lifestyle thinking about stuff that ain't nothing. I mean, you sitting around, I'm going to be broke. Well, you're already broke. What's the big deal? Huh? Stinking thinking. Well, that ain't going to hurt me. You are what you think. You think you're a loser, you're a loser. Come on, church, not yet. You think you're winning, you can still be a loser, but at least you'll enjoy doing it. Lord. 1963, I believe it was, the New York Mets came into existence. They were the laughing stock of Major League Baseball. They lost all but two ball games out of 162. That's a historical record I doubt will ever be broke. 1968, they won the World Series. They had one guy that they changed. Most of the rest of them had been there since 1963, but they brought this little shortstop in who started talking about, we can win, we can do good, we can do better. And he's got to making plays and trying, and some of them got to making plays and trying. Next thing you know, they went from the worst team to the number one team in professional baseball simply because they got to believing they could do it. Can I tell you, church, some of y'all need to start believing in the God you serve and realize the God is in you, has the ability to do great things in you, and let him go in your life. Could you say amen? Say, well, preacher, I'd rather stick with the word. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Can I tell you, if you get your mind right and you think right, you will prosper in God in some way, shape, form, or fashion, because that's what the Word of God has told us you could do. Could you say amen? Oh. Well, preacher, I don't know about that. Listen, there was a guy paying hundreds of dollars to a psychiatrist trying to figure out why he couldn't sleep at night. That psychiatrist working on him, and finally he didn't see him for 6 months. Come back to the guy and he said, hey, dude, how come you ain't been coming to see me? Did you finally get over your crisis? He said, oh, yeah, I'm sleeping like a baby. He said, well, how did you cure that? He said, I started going to church. He said, I guess that preacher prayed for you, just got you deliverance. He said, nah, that preacher's smarter than that. He come over, cut the legs off my bed, it's sitting on the floor, can't nothing get under it now. Glory. It's all about thinking. Philippians 4, and I'm going to close. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Hello? Well, what things are those? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me and do, and the God of peace will be with you. So what are you getting at? You want to have joy? First of all, you got to make up your mind you're going to be a disciple. Then you got to learn how to pray in detail. Then after that, you got to learn how to practice peace. But you also got to get to that place where you control your thinking. Get your mind stayed on God. Get your eyes focused on him. And as long as you're focused on the master, there is victory for those who divide in him. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Stand with me all over the house. I know some of you sitting there say, preacher, why in the world did you preach like this to us tonight? Because I felt like God put it in my heart to talk to you tonight. Because, see, I believe there's some people under the sound of my voice that for whatever reason, your joy is gone. Satan has drained every drop of joy out of your life. Day after day's a drudgery. You get up like, oh, God, another day. Another dollar. God, another day I got to live. And you just can't wait to get out of here. You're just tired of fighting all this stuff. Can I tell you, it's time to quit fighting. It's time to turn to God. It's time to let God take over your joy. I spent 35 years traveling. There were nights I was by myself. I mean, I had all kind of stuff go wrong. I mean, I've had motors blow up. I remember one night I broke down in Montgomery and had to walk. I remember one week I broke down three nights in a row on Highway 59 north of Gordo. Don't look at what that is. That means there ain't nothing up there. I walked 5 or 6 miles every night because my shove it wouldn't make it.
It's called a Chevette, but I shoved it every night because it broke three nights in a row, and it was a different thing every night. And I'd get home, get a guy to go get it, and he'd fix it, and I was dumb enough to drive it off again. That third night, I fixed the problem. I went and traded that car. I pulled in, that guy said, "Get good gas mileage." I said, "The last three nights, it ain't burnt no gas at all." I said, "But my shoes are wore out, so if you give me another pair of shoes, I'll buy another car from you." I know what it is to be frustrated. I know what it is to be aggravated and irritated. Ain't nothing will get you worse than to hear the phone ring on a Saturday night and you sit there going, "I'm not answering it because it's going to be that stupid preacher I got scheduled tomorrow. He's going to cancel on me for some dumb reason," and it happened. It absolutely got to where Saturday night I didn't want the phone to ring because I knew it was a goofy preacher calling. Hello? I'm sorry, they're not all goofy, just some of them are just sorry. I'm trying to be nice, but when a fella calls you and cancels on you on Saturday night knowing you're going to be without work, I think he needs to get saved. He's got, now, you know, if there's reasons for it, if it's a reasonable thing, that's one thing. I had a guy cancel on me because his dog died. I felt like killing the rest of his animals. Glory. That was one of the times I had to go get some joy because I didn't have none when he got through. And one guy called me and told me, said, "We got a virus down here. We know you don't want it." Canceled on me because he had a virus. The Sunday before I was supposed to be there. And I'm like, "Man, if y'all got a virus going to last a week, I don't want it. I have hard enough time with a 24-hour one. I got a place to preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night. The week I was supposed to be with him, I had to go by his church. The virus was another evangelist. I showed up on Monday night. You ought to see both of them. Lord. I know what it is to be irritated and agitated and frustrated. But if it becomes a lifestyle, you got to do something about it. Because it becomes bitterness. And it will destroy you. And it will eat you up from head to toe. And sooner or later, you got to make up your mind. I want something different. I want to tell you tonight, church, you got to make up your mind. You want to keep your joy. If you want to keep your joy, you can have a joy that is unspeakable, full of glory. But you got to work at it. You got to make it a lifestyle. God, I'm going to practice peace. I'm going to learn how to pray in detail. God, I'm going to learn to let go and trust you. And in that, I'm going to have joy. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way in our life tonight. Master, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.